So, well, this morning, we are the Incarnate Son, the title of our lesson, and it is the Book of John. Now, the Book of John was one of the, one of the favorites, you know, mainly because as we go through this, we'll find out that the Gospel of John is written well after the other two, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it's suggested that it was written about 85 to 95 A.D. So it was much later. And so John, in his writing, he was not trying to give us another view of Christ, such as that's in the Synoptic Gospels. But John is the one who starts out with exactly who Jesus is. You know, all the other ones arrive at the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. But John begins with Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son, as God incarnate. So every chapter every verse is written from a perspective of his deity. So that's why whenever we're in the Jewish terminology then is defined to help the Gentile readers understand, you know, exactly what this meant for Jesus in a fulfilling of the Old Testament. John 20, 31, it says that these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So, again, the writing and the perspective is that of Jesus, who he is, why he has come, and it begins with his deity. So Matthew focuses on a Jewish audience. Mark, he wrote to a busy Roman audience, and Mark it's a short, one of the shortest book because Romans, they didn't care about your past. They didn't want to know about your family history, your genealogy, what your parents did. They want to know what you can do. So they're more to the point, more focused. And so when Mark writes, he writes to the Roman world. And then, of course, Luke is the beautifully penned and long letter for the reflective Greek mind. So the Greeks are, you know, they're more reflective and so on. So you see that type of liturgy. And, of course, Matthew is written to the Jewish audience, which we said. And that's why you have the genealogies, you know, of proving the genealogy of Jesus, because they wanted to know who you were and where you came from. So each of the Gospels have their own they have their reason for being written, and they have their reason for being written the way they are. And so some of them contain some of the same stories, same situations, but none of them contain them all. So we just have a brief synopsis of the life of Jesus in these books, and highlights of the highlight reel of what Jesus did in his 3 years. John, more than anyone else, wanted people to see Jesus as the answer to their needs, because he is the Son of God, and all who commit themselves to him will be given eternal life. So we have that that commitment, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you know, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, you know, he's right in there. All each of the chapters, each of them is talking about the relationship with Christ. And chapter 1, John identifies four names and titles that portray Jesus as the eternal God. He is the Word, he is the Light, he is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. So those are the titles that are listed here in John chapter 1. So anyone that you know of that's starting their life as a Christian, a new believer, the first book is to not the book of Genesis. I'm going to start at the beginning of the book and read it through. Well, you get to Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, it's like, oh my gosh, what is all of this about? So, any new believer, you start with the book of John. So, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Message Bible has that written out this way. The Word was first, the Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God. And readiness for God from day one. So whenever we're seeing this, you know, God present to the Word present to God, he's establishing the deity of Christ, but also the equality, you know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are equal, yet distinct. And so the Word, Christ, is present with God. God the Father is present with Jesus. And, you know, you could put in there, God is present with the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present with Jesus and God. God, you know, so all three are there, and they all are present to each other, yet one. So everything, verse 3, everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without him. So whenever we start looking at everything that exists, everything that exists, universe, solar system, the multiple solar systems that are out there, everything that came into existence was created through him. All right, so whenever we think of that, you know, the vastness of creation, you know, just, you know, it's mind-boggling to even begin to imagine. And of course, if you get some of the astrologers and astrology, and you get to see the solar systems that we have, that we now have pictures of, you know, from the you know, telescopes and things from space, we find that it's just you know, astounding how far out the place goes, you know. So we are this little speck of dust in the cosmic universes. So. Oh no, well, to think that the stars are millions of light years away. I mean, millions of light years. It's like, okay, how far does 5,000? How many miles does the light travel per second? 186,000 miles per second. So 186,000 miles per second, and we have a million light years. Start putting that in a calculator. Oh yeah, they can be burnt out. They can be burnt out, but the light hasn't got here yet. So we said, well, it's not that far. I just turn the light out and it disappears, you know. It's closeness, so. I don't know how far. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just our own sun. Yeah. That distance is nothing compared to what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So.
I think that's the thing. We think of it like in sort of the arc of space. There's so much more in outer space, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that. Yeah, you know, the whole. Star Trek. Yeah.
So, verse 3 says, everything was created through him. So everything, now, whenever we are, everything was created through him. So God created everything, all right? So the good, the bad, the ugly, everything was created through him. So it's all, God created it, all right? Now, we know he didn't create evil. He created good, but good, Satan turned to evil, turned his back on the light. So, but everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without him. So whenever we see this idea that we're walking with God through life and that the difficulties that come to us in life, that we need not think that these things have suddenly come out of nowhere and that God doesn't know they exist. He does know they exist, and he knows that God, you know, that so everything was created through him. So if everything is created through him, and now some things he did not intend, you know, people's nature of being evil, he did not intend them to be evil, but even their evil he turns around to be good. So what came into existence whenever God created, what he created was life. What he created was light in darkness. One of the things I don't know if it talks about it here. The word John speaks of is Jesus. He was with God, meaning a direct relationship of equality with the Father. The word was the very quality of God while still retaining personal distinctions. So Jesus is the very quality of God, yet he is distinct from the Father. He has come to do the will of the Father, and he says that he doesn't do one thing without permission of the Father. And we're looking at this that as God is subject to the authority of the Father, so we are subject to the authority of Christ. And Jesus gave himself to be in subject to the Father. He gave up his divinity. He is God. He is still God, and he can command, you know, his angels, you know, whenever he's on the cross, he could command his angels to come and destroy the world and start all over again. But he commands this authority, but he doesn't use it. So he is subject to the authority of his Father. Well, in our life, we have the ability to command, but we are to be in subject to the authority of Christ. But also recognize that if we are in subject to the authority of Christ, so is the world around us subject to the authority of Christ. See, that's where we have the idea of our faith being, say, to this mountain and be moved and be moved. Pray about a problem or a difficulty and it will change, because those things are in authority to God. We are in authority to God. So we can pray to God to change those situations. So whenever we start seeing the progression of authority and being subject to the authority over us, Jesus is subject to the authority of the Father, because he willingly submits his life to the will of the Father. He became a man so that he could die, so that he could fulfill the will of the Father to bring redemption and bring salvation to mankind. So he put all these things in place. Well, we then are subject to the authority of Christ, and we see that Christ, what is he? He, you know, everything that was created through him. So everything has authority, everything is subject to his authority, even the devil himself. So whenever Satan was cast out of heaven, he was beheld as light falling from the sky, it says in Isaiah. But also he was cast into darkness. He was cast upon the earth, and the earth was dark. It wasn't until later, till creation, that Jesus created light. So he was in the dark for a long time. And Satan's always been in the dark. When it comes to the authority of Christ and who God is, he kind of lives there. So anyhow, verse 1 and 2 tell us Jesus has always existed. He is God and was with God. Identifies him as the creative force behind all things. Paul reiterates this when he says, For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So if these things were created for God and they are not in subject to his authority, we, as being under the authority of Christ, we have the ability to pray against those things to bring them into following who Jesus is in the authority that God has over them. Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Verse 6. Now, John, the gospel writer, he jumps to John the Baptist. Now, why would he be talking about the authority of Jesus and Jesus being the creator of all things and then in a moment jumps to John the Baptist? Well, many thought that John the Baptist was going to be the Messiah. And so John sets out immediately to put that thought to rest. You know, because many people had been following John the Baptist, and, you know, so this is written 90 AD, somewhere in there. There are still people who think that John the Baptist might have been the Messiah, and that Jesus, you know, he really wasn't, but John was. And, people, if you have, a Jewish guy told me this, so I can repeat it. If you have two Jews, you have three opinions. So if you have two Wimber people, you have three opinions, you know, but it's the idea. So you have all these sects going on here in Israel, and John is trying to quiet them and bring them under authority of who Jesus is. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. So the purpose of John the Baptist was to bear witness to Jesus Christ and to bear witness to the light. Now, Jesus is the, you know, we talk about he is the light, you know, salvation, light into darkness. He, you know, the light of Christ shined upon our path. So whenever God created the universe, he created the sun and the stars. He created light. And so Jesus is referred to and is spoken of as the light. And John came to bear witness that the light that Jesus is to the world is the light from God, so that all men through him might believe. So the light that Jesus is so that we can believe. We have trouble with our belief, all right? If you lack faith, ask of God who gives all men liberally and does not withhold anything. So if we lack belief, ask Christ, the light, to shine his light upon the scripture that would bring light, illumination to our own soul and to our own minds. See, I think we sometimes miss the idea that God is walking with us. In reality, we are walking with God. Okay? This is God's life. He goes before us. He prepares a place. He goes ahead of us. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. That God goes before us to make the crooked places straight and bring the valleys up and the mountains down. He is the preparing the king's highway, meaning he's going out to smooth out all the bumps. So Jesus goes before us that we may follow in the footsteps of Christ. So I'm following in the footsteps of Christ. That means that I'm on this journey with God. It isn't that I'm doing this alone and we're asking God to come back. You know, follow me, Jesus. I know where I'm going. Yeah, right. Then we're always stuck in the dark. And God is telling us, no, I'm the light. Let me be the light of your path and show you where you need to go. No, you don't walk with the light behind you unless you want the guy behind you to see. You're the one who stumbles over everything, but Jesus is the light of the world, so he goes before us. So John is saying that he is bearing witness to the light of Christ that all men through him might believe. John was not that light. Okay? I am not the light. But was sent to bear witness to that light. So I have been here to show you the way to Christ. That's why I'm here. So in a few verses, in a few statements, John, the disciple, is putting to rest the notion that John the Baptist was the Messiah. He isn't. His purpose was to... forerunner. He's the one to give them understanding that the Messiah is coming. But it's interesting, probably, if you've studied, of course, there's no way to know exactly, but the people who were receptive to John's message of repentance and renewal are the ones who were probably receptive to the message of Jesus. And they were probably the ones receptive to the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and so on. So these guys, they're all still around. John the Baptist prepares the way. The people who were against John the Baptist were against Jesus. The people who were against John the Baptist, against Jesus, were against the disciples. Right. Yeah. Well, look at I think of the Christmas when the shepherds come, not the shepherds, the wise men come. They go to Herod and say, "Where's the King of the Jews born?" They knew. They knew where the King of the Jews was to be born. You know, check with the scholars. Where's the King of the Jews to be born? Oh, well, that's in Bethlehem. Oh, go to Bethlehem, you'll find him. Okay. They knew. It was all right there. But they refused to see it. Oh, no, he didn't know. Oh, the scholars knew, and the common people, no, the common people didn't know, but they were all wanting a Messiah, but they were not wanting, you know, they were wanting a David Messiah come in and kick out the Romans. That's what they were wanting, but he didn't come that way. So, what else we got here? All right, verse 9. Verse 9 says, the light was the real thing. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So, 9 to 11. Okay, read it in the message. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into the light. He was in the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own, and they didn't want him. So, the first creative act of Genesis was the production of light. Okay? So, without light, there can be no life. There are four things necessary for life, which is light, air, water, and food. Without light, none of these things matter. So the first creative act in Genesis was light. And through John's gospel, we see the conflict between light and darkness. And where I mentioned about Lucifer being cast out of heaven, that was in Isaiah 14:12. He landed on the ground, that is the earth, yet it was before Genesis story, and so Satan lived in darkness. The invasion of light by Jesus coming to the earth set the stage for the great battle between light and darkness. So when God created all this and put it in place, he knew there was going to be a battle. Now, for us, we'd say, well, I don't want to pick a fight. But Jesus created, God created the earth, and Satan was already here. He'd been cast out of heaven. And so Jesus came here, as it were, in just my weak interpretation, Jesus came here to recognize that evil can never win. And that though even though evil can plot and scheme to destroy God's creation, he can't do it. Because God has come to set the world right with him. So in our life, we live under the authority of Jesus Christ. And living under the authority of Jesus Christ means that the world that we live in is under the authority of Jesus Christ because he created it. Well, it certainly doesn't seem that way. Right. Right. And to think, you know, like we said about the scholars knowing where Jesus, they knew the scriptures where he would be born, that it is not the will of any man, it is not the will of God that any man should perish, but everybody come to repentance. So every person who has ever lived, every person who has ever lived, when they stand before God, they will know the times in which God himself came to them and wooed them to his presence, you know, brought him in, and they said no. We choose, you know, I like this one. God gave to everyone a measure of faith, and people choose to take their faith and believe that there is nothing rather than to choose their faith and to believe that there is Christ. That's it. Yeah, we believe. We believe that God, you said, when we think about our life, we are subject to Christ, but the world is subject to Christ. So the world is in subjection to us, but we believe that, well, I can't do that. Well, you see, that's the whole point. We can't. We can't do it. That's why we need our prayer is that God would help us and that God, through Christ, the power of Christ, would influence or change the darkness, shine light into the darkness. And we keep praying that. Yeah. No. God, I don't want you to get hurt here, God. Let me take care of this. God, you need to protect yourself. Let me go handle this. You know, it's like, okay, David. Yeah. And I think that what is the prayer should be, every day our prayer should be for God to lead us in our words, in our life, in our goings and our comings, and in our doing of nothing or our doing of something. We want God to lead us. This isn't about us living life. It's about God's life. It's about us living life through God, and that God has a life for us. You know, it's like Paul. He had a life to live through Christ, and he went through lots of stuff because of what God was going to do for him and through him. Don't let me get lost like last week. You'll shine the light. Everybody will get out their flashlight and point it at the clock. Pastor, look at the clock. So, verse 12. The Message Bible has it. But whoever did not want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be there. All right, it's this. You know, sometimes this is, it's hard to. It's like it should read in a complete sentence and stop, and then you know, but it doesn't. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So whoever wanted him, yeah, that I said did not, and there's no not in this did. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves. There we go. I took out the not. You know, I throw those nots in there and they're not there. They're not there. So anyhow, whoever did want him. So whoever did want Christ, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves. You see, us believing in God and walking with God and recognizing we are walking with God. This is your true self. This isn't walking with God and receiving salvation and receiving guidance and receiving power, receiving the Holy Spirit into our life. This is our true self. This is not a strange spiritual phenomena that happens to just a few individuals. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ who helps us be the true self for which we were created, as if there were never sin. He reconciled, put us in a right relationship with Him. He brought everything back into conformity with what He wanted. That's why we're saved. That's why there was, you know, Christ died upon the cross, that our true self, who God created us to be, would walk in conformity with God, and that walking in conformity with God would rule and reign with Christ. And that nothing can defeat us and nothing can destroy us. You know, it's all there in God's timing, in God's plan. Now, it doesn't mean hardship doesn't come. It means that in the hardship, we have the victory. You know, we're always looking for the victory. So as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So we have the power to become and to be the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. The name of Jesus. It's everything that Jesus represents and everything that Jesus is. He is God. He is light. He is life. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. He is Conqueror. He is everything that Jesus is. We believe in His name. And so when we attach His name to our prayers and we put His name in our prayers, beginning and ending, we have put contained within those words the Creator of the universe, who is capable of everything, all things. And so we are believing, because we put the name there, we are believing that Jesus is capable of handling all these difficulties, which were born not of blood. So what He's telling us is, you're here by divine appointment. Now, my dad and mom got together, and no. They may have gotten together, but you came by appointment. There are no mistakes. God brought us together. God put us here, and not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you see, God knew you would be here before the beginning began. God is. And before the beginning began, God knew you would be here. Before the beginning began, God planned a life for you. And so we then are allowing the light of Christ, who was there in creation, to light up the world. It's the same Christ who lights up our path. And we walk with Him through life. We become, what's it say here? Not of the will of God in the flesh, but the power of God to become the sons of God. Become indicates clearly that people are not the spiritual children of God by natural birth. We cannot become what we already are. Yeah. Yeah. Come to be the I. Remember that story I told about the I am? Genesis, the I am, when God says to Moses, I am that I am. And I am that I am is singular for I am that I am. Is like to be. I am that I am, or to be. And then you take away to, it's just be. So be, you know, like, we say becoming, you're one thing coming to, but be means you're already there, whole. All right? So when God speaks to Moses and says, I am be, I am complete, I am whole, all right? Well, when John writes about this, he says, and the word came and I held beheld him. I held I held him. He's my friend. Yeah. John says, I held Well, we in Christ are coming to be complete. We're on our journey to be complete. And that is in our journey with Christ. Preach it, brother! Yes, it takes time, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. I've thought of that. I heard it. Some guy was preaching it years ago, and it's just like, oh. You know, and that's one of those that just doesn't go away. Every time I think of this scripture, this text and things, I think of that guy's sermon, you know, or his illustration of those words. And he already is. I am B. I am equals B. Okay? You know, I am equals to B, or just scrape the two and is B. I am equals B. No, no. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. God, I have a few things I need you need to look at. You know how you run the universe and some of these people don't get along? I just think you should just zap them, you know? But in love, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. Boom! Not. But God in that whole thing is seeking for redemption. The whole point of troubles and trials is people will either depend more on themselves or they'll come to depend on God. And we don't know how the Holy Spirit is working on their life. So that's why we can never write off people who are what we consider sinful or bad or whatever. You know, God is still working in their life, and who knows whether they will turn the corner or not. We have to believe that God, who has all things in control, we're praying that he will influence their life to come and become the child of God. Right. Right. Yep. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes. This is the beheld him. The one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. So we think about this. He is full of grace and truth, okay? So when God is coming, we behold his glory, you know, the glory of God. Be the glory around God, you know, beheld him, you know, behold. So he comes full of grace. Okay, full of grace is unmerited favor. He comes with so much power and authority and giftings and love. He comes with so much to give us. Divine favor, meaning God looks so favorably upon you, he can't stop grinning. All right? And then he comes with truth. So it's like, the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are and the truth of where we're at, God's grace just comes pouring into us and pouring into our life. Because what is our mission? Our mission is to be his ambassador. Right? Christ's ambassador. What that means is we are his legal representative here and now. So when I am here representing God, do you think God is going to withhold any good thing from me as his representative? So sometimes we go to court, go to life, we go to court without all of the benefits and all the knowledge that we need because of our lack of belief. And God is telling us, I'm coming to you with all grace and all truth, and I'm placing it there because you represent me, and you're walking with me in this. I'm the one, God is saying, I'm the one on trial here, that you are being the witness of me to this world around you, and I am not withholding from you any good thing. I'm not withholding any blessing. I'm not withholding any truthful thing. I'm not withholding one, because I see you full of grace, generous favor, God's generous favor. One thing I always tried to do was, if someone's doing a task, I always say, what do you need? What is it that you need to do your job? We will make it happen. You'll get it. Well, God is saying that very same thing to us. What do you need to live the Christian life? I'll give it to you. We'll make it happen. Verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We all live off of his generous bounty. Gift after gift after gift. That's the Message Bible. It says, he cometh after me, and the fullness that we have received. The fullness we have received from God, we live off of his generous bounty. We live off of the generous bounty. The endless knowing and understanding comes through Jesus. By grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. So we have this endless knowing and understanding that keep coming into our life and poured into our life. And then, there's one more phrase here. But with the coming of Jesus, we no longer seek to obey the law of God like slaves. We seek to answer the love of God like sons. Then the last verse. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The one who has come from the Father has made him known to us. He has made God the Father plain as day. So whenever we're looking at this, that Jesus has come to declare the Father, that when we look at the teachings of Jesus and we look at who Christ is, that he is God, and that he lives and he came to fulfill the will of the Father, which is the plan of salvation. And before there was ever sin, Jesus was the will, he is the sacrifice for sin. And all of this is to bring us back to this place where we are our true selves, that without sin. And Christ then has come full of grace and truth, and he comes with, you know, we are his ambassadors. We are walking with God through our life. And he, God, is giving to us grace and truth, that all of the divine favor we need in our life to be his witness, to be his child, to be his authority here in this world and in this life, he has given us. Because he is the Word made flesh, and we hold him in our heart. I like John. Yeah. Any thoughts? Yep. Grace in place of grace already given. More grace. This one has gift after gift after gift. It's full to overflowing. That's why when he says you give unto God, he'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The fullness of God and the blessing of God never come in. It's like it isn't that the wells of God are so deep. It's that the bucket we use is too small. You know, trade in your thimble and get a bucket, you know. Get a barrel. Get a pump. Get a fire hose. So the gift after gift after gift. So we're not, you know, this is what God is giving to us. So that we can be our true selves. I mean, think about this. Your true self in God's eyes is full of giftings and blessings and, you know, grace and honor. Our image of our true self is, well, you know, it's like we need to get rid of it, but just look at what our true self that God created us to be is not like the one we have of us. Right? So the image I have of me is not close to this whole image here. So let's exchange it. Let's exchange this image that I have of me for the image God has of me, of my true self, where grace and truth, the divine favor of God and his truth are just, you know, stacked upon stacked. I can't use it fast enough. I can't bring it out quick enough because there's so much to use. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that the truth of your word is so, so deep for us. But yet, Lord, it is just barely scratching the surface of all that you have. So, Lord, the more we know, the more we know there is to know. So help us, Lord, to be receptive of this and to allow your Spirit to move through us. And God, we know that we're coming to a place of harvest. We're coming to a place of increase. We're coming to a place of change in our lives and the life of our community and our nation, our church. And we just thank you, God, that it is from blessing to blessing. It is from grace to grace, from grace and truth that we build on the kingdom of God in our hearts. So lead us, we pray. Help us to realize we follow you in this life of ours, which is actually yours. In Jesus' name, amen.